He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Even like up and coming shows, right? Like Sean's and your guys' with you and Vinay and the Coach's Den and stuff like that. Like it's absolutely incredible how I think prepared Lakers media is for this.
Yeah, it's insane. Luka obviously injects a level of enthusiasm that, you know, we love Anthony Davis, but, you know, it's different. You got a 26-year-old mega superstar, global superstar that has just walked through the door, right? And everyone's like, you know, people who aren't Laker fans, don't even really follow the NBA, you know, texts, you know, because I'm sure you get these as well. They know what we do and they go, hey, like, what is this? Like, who is this guy? And you got to kind of explain, oh, you have no freaking idea how good this guy is. You know, it's a level of excitement that you can share. And yeah, Laker media is at an incredible place, you know, where, you know, if you make good art or whatever it is that you do, it can be found. And, you know, I think it's just in a beautiful place in terms of where the content is and how the content creation is being created. All the podcasters, people doing art, you know, like Jack Perkins, people doing video work as well online. It's just there's a 24-hour content cycle that you can stay on if you like. Like that's just how much good quality stuff is being created, and just blessed to, you know, throw my name in the hat and be a part of that.
Yeah, I you know, it's just I there are some other platforms I didn't mention, like Lakers Exceptionalism is another one, like Krangis's work on sure. charting like plays and stuff like that too. Like just absolutely insane what everybody is capable of and the different ways and the niches that everybody has kind of found for themselves. It's been really fun. And then like to those who were like looking to get into it, man, good luck. But also like, I do think there are some angles that are left to be kind of figured out with this Lakers team here moving forward. But anyway, let's go ahead and dive back into this game. Again, the final 136-115, the Lakers won their seventh straight. They improved to 39-21. I kind of joked about this with Lee the other day on Passport in saying that the Lakers could find like a roundabout way at the 40-20 club in that like a lot of their losses took place before like Luka and before the run that they were on before they traded for Luka, and a lot of like the growing pains while they were kind of figuring out and JJ Redick and the team were figuring each other out as well. Like kind of feel like we should get in what's the word I'm thinking of, like a honorary inclusion into the 40-20 club here because of like how close they're basically coming, right? They could potentially be. Now their next game is another tough one. They're going to play against the Knicks, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thursday.
And we'll see really quickly, really hope everything is okay with Kat. Jordan Woods tweeted out fuck cancer, which is a good thing to tweet out all the time, but Kat was out with personal reasons, and if she's tweeting that out, that would indicate potentially that something is going on there. So hope everything is okay in that situation and with Kat here moving forward. But if the Lakers are able to beat the Knicks on Thursday and improve to 40-21, I'm counting it as a 40-20 team.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
you have to.
Or, you know, beat Boston next Saturday and make it 41-21. And it'll definitely be included. I think part of this, and I mentioned this on Jovan's show yesterday as well, but I think the point of inflection that I think we should look at, Anthony, is the DFS trade, right? I think the Luka trade is going to warp all trades, and as it should, it's going to dominate every headline that comes out. Yeah. DFS trade changed the identity of this team. Like you went from a ball handler to a 3-and-D wing, just completely shifted everything you could do. You know,
weird
that JJ.
Yeah, only that, somebody had been calling for that for like 3 years.
That, I don't want to get into D'Lo here, but the DFS trade obviously allowed JJ to play the style of basketball that he wanted and put them on this ramp. I feel like that was going up, right? It hit, you know, there was an angle to it. It was rising. And then you just throw Luka into that, and it's in a turbo that just pushes them to a pace that, you know, it is just unseen. So DFS started off, kicked it off, and Luka shot it through the sky in terms of what, where he took the ceiling. And that's where he judged the team. They're what, 18, 19 and 4-3 now or whatever it is through the last 24 games, just absurd winning percentage. And all of these are coming against teams against over 500, except for tonight where, with the Pelicans, but yeah, team's just riding a very high right now.
It's just the part of it that struck me, Raj, as I was setting up for the show, and that's why the second bullet point is margin for error. Remember how it was like the Lakers would maybe they lose this one in a nail biter during the LeBron and AD era, and like Gabe isn't there. Mm-hmm. And after the game, you're like, man,
can't judge him.
They win this one if they have Gabe, that's for sure. And it's like, if you're sitting here deciding that the difference between winning and losing is Gabe Vincent, that's the story.
Yes.
Right? Like that's the takeaway. The fact that like the Lakers so desperately miss Gabe Vincent that it would alter the course of how that game plays out. Like, and yet, like the Lakers are winning this one going away. And again, like the Pelicans have had the season from hell. Well,
no, you can't even say that no more. It's crazy.
The Mavs are having the season from hell. The Pelicans are having the season from purgatory, but like but even still, like this would be one of those annoying games that like the Lakers lose on the last possession. And after the game, you would get like tweets sent out about like, yeah, but like technically, you know, you can't.
Yeah. Two starters out. Yeah.
So, you know, and in this one, it's like, no, it never mattered. It never mattered. No. It never mattered. And again, it's about like the floor that comes with LeBron and Luka and that offense. And given the way that the Lakers are defending, at what point, Raj, actually, this is an actual question I'm asking you. At what point is the defense just what the defense is?
Yeah, just quickly on your floor, like Dalton comes in and has 8 points tonight, 19 against the Clippers, right? And it's just another guy that's just on the end of your bench, but I feel like Dalton on a bad team puts up like 12, 13 a game, right? And that's like the guy that just doesn't play. Well, the defense, it's becoming so consistent that I think you have to at least give it, this is a like good to elite defense. I'm not going to say they're an elite defense yet, but this is a very good defense. They have its struggles. They have their weaknesses, but so does every other great defense, right? It's just, that's just how great defenses work. You have to give up something on the defensive end. I remember the Milwaukee Bucks, who were an absolute just a machine in the regular season. They lost because Grant Williams hit 7 threes in a game 7. And that's kind of like how great defenses lose, right? There's some wacky stuff that goes on. Yeah. But there's just a floor that this defense has, you know, shown that they are, that I believe them. Like, to beat this defense, you number one have to have a passer that's, you know, at least high level that can throw over double teams. Yeah. Luka would help. Luka against this defense would be interesting. It'd be cool to watch. But no, I'm glad he's on.
Scrimmages are really good, you think?
Right. Yes. I'd love to be to watch that. You know, if they can put that on a video. But yeah, and the Lakers are gonna force the ball into places that you're not comfortable with, right? Are they gonna force the ball into cross court? They really disrespected. Why am I blanking on his name? The Alvarado. They're like, Alvarado, you want threes? Go ahead. And Alvarado, I think, hit one. But yeah, there's an attention to detail every single night that has really boosted to me this defense as well. Because you can play a trapping style and you could leave Trey Murphy open, right? And he can kill you. But that's not what they did. Trey Murphy got like one or two shots that I remember from the 3-point range, and one of them was way out.
A lot of sticks from 3-point range tonight.
Right, and the one he made was like 30 feet out, I remember, in semi-transition. So there's an attention to detail combined with the physicality and the wings that we're playing. And this is a tough team to score on, especially with Luka being engaged and just his supercomputer on that end. And LeBron's been awesome, had an crazy, you know, block on someone at the rim. Vando had a chase down block at the 3-point line. Just, yeah, it's just, they bring in all these type of guys who are defending at a super high level. So I think this is real. We got to see against Boston, the elite teams, but those teams cook everybody anyway. So, you know, they found something that's consistent and they can win with. And when you have Luka, LeBron, and Austin, your defense doesn't really even have to be elite. Like the bar for that is actually lower than, you know, than it needs to be. But yeah, I'm blown away at how consistent it's been. What did the Pelicans get to tonight? 105? Did they get to 105?
115.
Oh, 115. Okay. So they break the 102 streak that the Lakers have been on.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter.
Well, that's the thing though, is that like I've been saying, all right, I'm anticipating some slippage from the defense as like maybe they play some better teams or teams get a second look at this defense and the way that the mm-hmm. Lakers are playing. Also like the level of energy that it takes to continue defending the way that the Lakers are defending also kind of matters here. But even while they take that step back defensively, I think they're capable of another few steps forward offensively. Right. And this game I thought was a great example of that. Like where now again, this isn't the same, like they didn't have Herb Jones in this one and Brandon Ingram obviously was traded away. And that was what made their defense so special. The fact that you had Murphy and Jones and Ingram and Alvarado, and it was just length and athleticism everywhere. So like this defense, obviously, given the way that their season has gone, they just aren't going to defend very hard in this game, especially once it appears that the wheels start falling off in the game. But still, it's like, it didn't matter what the situation was. The Lakers just always felt like they could get what they wanted. And it is just a matter of knocking down the open shots. Like, it is incredible to watch a team that every time down, so long as they don't mess around too much, every time down, they're gonna create a good look, if not a great one.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the point I want to make, you know, in terms of the defense, we didn't talk after the Clipper game yet, the second Clipper game. I put a lot of stock into that one, Anthony. You know, I was in San Diego watching it, but the Clippers had a day to game plan. Like, and that's an incredible coaching staff over there. And the Clippers honestly couldn't afford to lose that one, let alone the one they lost tonight where they were up 25 and Stan Van Gundy was cursing them out basically for their defensive effort all game. And they end up losing, but they came back and still had trouble solving the Lakers defense. Kawhi Leonard, they were without Norm Powell. So, you know, that obviously matters, but James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, still a lot of catching the ball, holding. Kawhi was awesome as a jump shooter, but, you know, I told this stat yesterday, Anthony, Kawhi had 40 shots in the two-game series. He had 3 assists. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He had 0 assists in their last game. Like that, this defense is pushing you and forcing you into tough jump shots, and it's been working. And I think they're playing the numbers game as well. Chris Dunn, get all the shots you want. Aaron Gordon, get all the shots you want. Russell Westbrook, get all the shots you want. Alvarado, get all the shots you want. And it's working for now. We'll see what happens when a team plays 5 shooters like Boston can. And I think the Knicks can run a few of those type of lineups as well. So we'll see how that works. But it looks legit for now.
All right. I don't want to spend too much time on this just because of the vibes in the game to this point. And then I promise we'll go right back into the fun stuff with some of your guys' questions. But before the game, Jeannie Buss had some quotes that rubbed me the wrong way a little bit. Here's the quote. Can't Beat Audell tweeted this out, and it is from a piece on Texas Public Radio, which is certainly interesting. The victory lap runs far and wide.
I'm guessing it was about the show, though, right? I'm guessing that's what the interview was for. It was for the running.
Yeah, she's been out there trying to drum up interest in honestly a disaster of a show. It's not very good, but still. Here's the quote that she gave. Quote. We have lost the last three years in a row to the Denver Nuggets in the playoffs, and we really didn't have anything that was going to look different going into the playoffs again. Anthony Davis was complaining about where he was being played, and he wasn't happy. So I think this was a positive for both teams. They got what they were looking for. We got what we were looking for, and I didn't realize it was going to be international news like it was. But that's the power of the Laker brand and its ability to draw big names who want to write their own chapter in Lakers history. Honestly, a disaster of a quote. It's none of it is good. For one thing, it starts with a factual inaccuracy. The Lakers had only lost two times to Denver Nuggets. The time before that they had met the Denver Nuggets in the playoffs, they beat them in the Western Conference Finals back in the bubble season.
It might have felt like three, so I could understand.
It felt inevitable, and maybe what she meant is that like this felt like it was going to be the third one in a row,
right? Or whatever. Was running the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. However, who controls the script there to a certain extent is the people tasked with building a roster that you maybe give yourself a better chance in that third opportunity this season. I don't know. You made the point, and I don't want to. I'll do all of the ranting here.
Okay.
because of my lack of a relationship with the team, but this does come across as one. They were just like okay with heading into the postseason with basically the exact same roster. That they were like, yeah, it was going to happen again. Good thing Nico called. So that stands out. The term Anthony Davis complaining also sticks out. Like, no, Anthony Davis wasn't complaining. It's like he was merely pointing out, I think, again, a factual accuracy where he thinks he would have been better if they had a better center next to him and the Lakers could throw that pitch at Denver in a series. Maybe it plays out the same way. But maybe it doesn't. And I giving yourself putting together a better team to go into that third potential meeting with the Denver Nuggets in the postseason, that was always an option. And it just didn't seem like one the Lakers were all that interested in. Remember, they traded for Luka Doncic. He says he wanted another center, and immediately they traded for another center. So was Luka complaining? When he said, I'd kind of like a lob threat here, are you going to look to trade Luka if he has some notes for Rob moving forward? He's going to. You could ask the people who covered him in Dallas. Like, Luka has some opinions of the way that things can possibly go in the organization, and then the last part of it. I didn't realize it was going to be international news like it was, but that's the power of the Laker brand. No, Luka was literally an international brand. Luka literally played in Europe. He's from Slovenia. He's the biggest star from his country. He's a top five player, maybe higher, probably higher. Top two player. Yeah, top two player if you want to go that in the NBA right now. Him getting traded as he enters his prime in a global league is by definition going to be international news. It has nothing to do with the Lakers. It has everything to do with the fact that the Dallas Mavericks just made one of the dumbest trades in the history of American professional sports, if not global professional sports. This was just a disaster class from Dallas here. And it's like, when you say stuff like that, maybe she's being modest. But it also is the kind of thing that Dallas said after they made the trade, where it was like, gee golly, we didn't think y'all liked them that much.
I don't think they're as involved. At least the reporting that's come out, you know, Nico Harrison, I think, should deserve every bit of blame that he's getting. But I think the ownership, honestly, were pretty tone deaf. It 100% seems that way. But
this is also tone deaf. Like, I don't know why we're giving one group the benefit of the doubt and not this one.
I think Genie understands what happened here. And I think Rob understands what happens here. I think there's a reason this got told to nobody. There's a reason this did not come out anywhere, right? I think they both understood what was going on. And again, like, and I understand fans doing this, calling this luck. I get that. But I mean, the victor goes the spoils, right? It's just how the world works. They get to tell the story.
That's the thing.
They get to tell the story.
You're right, Anthony,
and they were right.
I am probably the member of Lakers media that goes the hardest at the Lakers, right? And sure. Rob and Genie and everybody there. And to a certain extent, like, I do have to kind of shut up because they won. They got Luka.
They did.
They got lucky as hell, but they got Luka. You can make a note. It doesn't. Why does it matter if I call it luck?
No, I'm not saying, but they got LeBron 6 years ago. I mean, was that luck?
Also luck.
Okay, they got Shaq 15 years ago. Also luck. Like, you know, they got Pau Gasol.
That was a little different. Like, Orlando played that one really poorly. But like,
okay, you got Pau Gasol. I keep going. Like, the, you know what I mean? Like, I understand the point you're making. I'm just saying, like, you know,
they have a track record of getting, you know, getting bailed out or getting lucky and stuff like that. And like, to a certain extent, like, yeah, the brand does help you get there. And it is like a too big to fail kind of a thing, right? Where like it doesn't matter the fact that the Lakers kind of sort of squandered the LeBron and AD era. And we're perfectly fine, it appears, just running out the clock on that, just waiting for the next guy to fall in their laps. Because guess what? Luka fell in their laps. So like, yeah, but I also find it difficult for me to like just write that off to like that's the process from here on out. Like it's just it doesn't, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Like,
the result is the result.
I mean, like, the process is always going to matter, but like,
it does, for sure.
At the end of the day, they do get to write history, right? Mm-hmm. The victors get, like, that's one of the spoils of war is the fact that you now get to tell your side of history, and that's the history of note moving forward. Mm-hmm. That said, Google exists. So like, this idea that like AD was complaining for merely saying like, yeah, it would be nice if my backup was better than Jackson Hayes. You know, it would be nice if I didn't have to carry the defense and I didn't have to make up for D'Angelo Russell.
Although because Jackson Hayes might have helped. I mean, this Jackson Hayes might have helped as a
Jackson Hayes doesn't exist without Luka and LeBron. We just said that a second ago.
Sure.
So like I actually kind of feel for Anthony Davis a little bit. And the fact that he's like out here saying that, you know, telling Brad Turner, yeah, I don't necessarily believe that only like three people knew about this. And like the more that we find out about this, that actually appears not to necessarily be the case, especially on the Dallas side. Maybe it's not necessarily that case, or maybe it's a little bit closer to the case on the Lakers side of things. Cause I know there are people in the Lakers organization who were kept in the dark, but still it's like, look, all that Genie needs to do here is what Rob is doing. Where it's like, do your peace sign thing, give some fans some thumbs up, you know, just be happy for how things are going. Credit Nico for making the crazy move and thanking him for being a good negotiator or negotiating in good faith or whatever. Like Rob, I think, has actually handled this perfectly. We're like, we knew that he and Genie were going to come out of the woodwork finally when they get this big win. And I think Rob has handled it really well. Genie, however, and part of it is that like she's on this press tour for that show.
A lot of questions are coming in. Yeah.
She's answering a lot more questions. She's been a lot more available than Rob has. But it's also like you know that you're going to be this kind of available. You know that these questions are coming. You know what kind of verbiage to utilize. This is a former Laker champion. You do not win title number 17. Without Anthony Davis, you don't associate him asking for more help with complaining. Was Kobe complaining when he said he was sick and tired of trying to carry Luke Walton's ass to the playoffs? Like, was Kobe complaining when he said he was sick of Smush Parker? all Anthony Davis was saying is like, yeah, give me a little help. We won a championship last time. I had a little bit more help at my position. Can we go back to that a little bit?
Yeah, so that's right. I think the word that could have been used is uncomfortable, right? Anthony Davis. I think the point that she was trying to make, because I don't think Jeannie would intend. I think Anthony Davis's number is going to go up in crypto arena one day. That dude is a champion forever, is a Laker forever. I don't think this was purposeful. Obviously, I think the word verbiage was probably wrong, but I think what she meant to portray in that quote was he was uncomfortable with the position he's playing in, so we sent him to a team that hopefully puts him, has the opportunity to put him in the position that he wants to play, right, which is the power forward position. That's how it was meant to come across. I understand it did not come across that way. I get that, and you know, I have a little bit more grace than that, obviously, than you do in terms of the wording that was used, but that's how I read it. I didn't think of it as Jeannie Buss is attacking Anthony. That's not how I read that at all. But I understand where the fans are coming from, and you know, I get it. And this does feel like a victory lap, but I mean, that's kind of what happens when you win. You're allowed, you get to run it. Yes. And getting Luka Doncic is a hell of a victory lap that you get to run. And look, Kanye has had some very questionable things that are going on, but he has, there's an amazing meme of him. I don't know what award show it's at. I don't follow these things, but he has this quote that goes, they wanted to know what I would do if I didn't win. And, you know, his answer was, I guess we'll never know, right? And that's kind of how this is. Like, what would the Lakers do if they didn't get Luka Doncic? I don't know. I have no idea. We'll never know that. Like, what would the team look like with AD, you know, on the team still? How would they have filled out this roster? We have no idea. So, I think Jeannie can choose her words a little bit more carefully, maybe. But I get it. Like, this is a huge win. This is an organizational win, and they're going to seep into it as much as they can.
Bye, everyone.